everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Rethinking Supply Chain. I'm Diana Chen, and I'm here with your host, John Abrams. Today, we have as a guest, Matt Blattman. Matt has been the marketing intern at Venzee for the last few months. And today, we're going to chat with Matt a little bit about what his perception of digital supply chain was before he started his internship and what he's learned since then. John, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I do. And I know you probably thought, Matt, when I said, hey, I'd love to have you on the podcast, you probably thought, oh, what kind of a patronizing or less than interesting, you know, event that must be for you to reach out to the lowly intern. Just so you know, that is not how I see it at all. I am fascinated, having spent almost 30 years in supply chain, I am fascinated having conversations with people who are of a different generation, who have an expectation about how they order goods, how things get delivered, all of the things that I've kind of learned the inner workings of. I'm fascinated when I talk to people of a younger generation about the details. So I'm actually really interested at digging in and learning from you how people see supply chain tech. And now that you've been exposed to the ugly underbelly of how commerce works in our economy, I'm really, really looking forward to the session. But before we get into my questions about that and hearing your thoughts, I know you're at the University of Michigan. We've been very lucky to have you on our team for a period of time. And just so the audience knows, we're still in the pandemic crisis. It is August of 2020. So remote work and how people interact with the business has changed a little bit. We're a virtual company. We have been since for about a year now, since August of 2019. So I'm curious about a couple of things. One, Matt, I'd like to hear a little bit about your educational background, your academic work, and what you actually do and want to do. And then I'd love your perception of what you thought work was going to look like, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of supply chain. So maybe we'll start it off with, tell us a little bit about your education at Michigan and what you're studying, what you're going to do with that.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. I normally am sitting in these virtual meetings, listening to John and Diana and whatever guest is on talk every week when they record, and it's great to be on. So I'm a rising senior at University of Michigan, as John said. I am a cognitive science major, so my focus is on the thinking behind decision making and really anything to go with that. So even though it doesn't point you towards a specific career or track, I've found that it is really one of the most practical majors. It has helped me in almost everything I do. So just for instance, working for you at Venzee, from a marketing standpoint, like you need to think about, if you're trying to target somebody, you need to think about what they're thinking about and what they're doing, what they're searching for. Really all comes down to the decisions they're making in their everyday life and what they're doing. So that's a more technical use of it. I also think that it's just great to learn more about myself and what I'm thinking, and then what the way others around me are thinking, whether that's just in everyday life or work as well.
So do you end up taking a lot of psych classes, or what is the curriculum about?
Yeah, so generally, I guess the majority of classes in my track of decision, it's called decision and cognition, are psychology courses. There are also economics, game theory classes. There are marketing classes on consumer behavior. But yeah, generally, the classes are psych, and they focus on decision processes in the brain. One of my favorite classes went into couple of different books, Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely, mm-hmm. and Thinking Fast and Slow by, I believe it's Kahneman. And those just really break down like the way people think. I did a project on concussions in the NFL in that class, which was on decision making, like why players continue to play, even if they know that they're at risk, and just understanding human thinking processes that are involved in that decision. And people did things. We talked about the financial crisis in 2009. It's just very broad, and that one specific class, I think, was a good general overview of what the major really is and my track really is, and what I really like about it. I think some people might be more into the science of the brain, but for me, just learning about the way I'm thinking, and that a lot of the time it's not really unique. It's everybody's thinking in a similar way, even though we're all our own people. We all have our own mind. We're thinking in different. We're thinking in a similar way with a similar pattern. So that's something that I've really found valuable so far.
That's really fascinating, and it's interesting to me that you're in a marketing role for us at Venzee. But if you step back a little bit, a lot of what Venzee does is moves information from a manufacturer to a retailer, really to provide it to a consumer, because the way consumers today interact with a product, it's through the framework set up by the retailer, be it an Amazon or a Home Depot or what have you. And so it's kind of interesting just to tap into your major and your educational experience, is that a lot of the decisions that people make are based on faulty information. And so a retailer is providing information that is inaccurate or incomplete. And any of us, and I was buying some things online yesterday, I'm in a 14-day quarantine, having come back from a trip to a state that the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois demand that we quarantine. So I've been buying everything online, which is not terribly unusual for me anyway, but now I'm purely reliant on it. I'm not going to the store. I'm not leaving the home. But I'm finding that there are huge gaps in information, whether it's a missing image or whether it's I can't compare one shopping site to another because the information on the same product with the same name exists partially in one site and partially in another site, and I can't actually match those things up. So curious, applying your academic background, how are we as people making decisions in the world of the internet, and do you see gaps in how let me make this relatable for everyone? When we go into a store, we get to see and hold and touch the physical product, and I'm curious, from your perspective and your educational background, how do you see those gaps or differences between how humans make decisions in a virtual or an electronic space, say an Amazon, versus in person in store? And what do you think the implications for that are?
Well, yeah, I think that the easy answer is that like people often are making the wrong decisions without thinking about it. And
making the wrong decisions because we don't have all the facts, do we?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that when you're physically going into a store, you get to see a product, or whether it's in the box or whatever, you get to see it and you get to make more, you get to come up with assumptions based on what you're actually seeing, holding, looking at, and maybe there's a demo or something in the store and that you could use. When you're ordering online, you're just seeing what they have written out, which is going to be designed to get you to buy the product. And you're,
by the way, it's awful. It is awful. It is what's interesting to me, and I'm more amped up about this today than usual because I have been buying a lot of products. Even the copy that's written to describe an item is full of errors. It should be, if you're a manufacturer, I was buying actually Tide the other day. The description by Tide, well, I don't know if it was by Tide, but about Tide through this retailer was riddled with errors, misspellings, incomplete sentences. It was the worst way to tell me that Tide is a good product that I could imagine.
Wow. So that really, that goes against what I was just saying. But,
well, no, we're making decisions based on bad information, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
So I just can't, I don't even have words for, there are real life implications beyond did I buy the Tide or did I not buy the Tide? But if there's errors at that level, I gotta believe if you're trying to find, let's say your Whirlpool, and you're trying to order batches of screws or rivets or whatever, the information is no less inaccurate. It is still rife with error. And so as humans, you know, we're presented with these facts that they're not facts, are they?
Yeah. I mean, they're not facts. The manufacturer and the retailer can make them seem like facts so that you're going to buy the product, but they're really not. And I think that understanding that that information is faulty is really important in the decisions we make, especially today especially right now, everybody's buying, like everything we buy is online. So I really do think that it's so important to understand, to catch yourself when you're thinking, oh, this product looks amazing, when you're looking online and think like, okay, well, what's going to happen when it gets here? What am I going to use this for? Is it exactly what I want? And I think that that's really important.
So it's interesting to me, and again, I want to tap into your academic perspective on this, but why aren't manufacturers investing more? Because I know that manufacturers will put product placement, shelf position, they spend millions of dollars as individual manufacturers in those areas. In aggregate, it's in the billions globally. Why do you think manufacturers aren't, why is Tide allowing inaccurate information to be presented to me through major retailers?
Well, I think that it's probably an oversight. It's probably something that they aren't paying enough attention to. My exposure to supply chain has been during this pandemic. So I think that what I would assume is that right now would be the time when they would start paying more attention to that, because it's a waste of money to spend. It's a waste of money to spend millions, like you said, on shelf space. And I think that getting that accurate product information is going to be more and more important as we continue to move towards e-commerce.
Well, you know, this session has flown by, and my guess is we're running toward the end. I want to do another session because I didn't get nearly into the level of detail I wanted to get with you. But I would suggest this, that I don't know what the value, I'm sure we could look it up, the value of the Thai brand is. When I was at McDonald's, we'd do those studies once in a while, and our brand value was worth billions. It's interesting to me that Tide is allowing or not making the investments in the digital side to continue to build that brand value. In fact, it's eroding it. So just kind of interesting. But I want to get, when we talk again, I want to get more into what you've learned about supply chain, and we can do that in another episode. But for now, I'm glad we had this time to chat, and I hope you've enjoyed your time with Venzee, and we should chat more.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much, John. I'm excited for the next one as well.
Thanks so much for joining us, Matt. And like John said, we will be bringing you back for another episode so we can dive deeper into what you've been learning about supply chain. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode, and we will be back soon.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Supply Chain podcast. It's brought to you by Venzee, intelligent product content distribution for enterprise commerce. Learn more and say hello to us at Venzee.com. That's V-E-N-Z-E-E.com.